Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Friday, April 12th. On today's show, SMB financial management platform MIMO raises £15.5 million, and finance watchdogs press Morgan Stanley on work with wealthy clients who have been flagged about money laundering. Plus, gray divorce is on the rise, and it can have major financial implications. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with news from the world of fintech. A new startup called MIMO has raised £15.5 million to simplify business-to-business payments and financial management for small and medium-sized businesses. The investment round was led by NorthZone, with participation from Coco Ventures, Seedcamp, Upfin VC, and angel investors from companies like Stripe and GoCardless. For more on this, we're joined now by our correspondent. So what exactly does MIMO do, and why is it attracting this investment?
MIMO, which stands for Money In, Money Out, provides a suite of financial tools designed to streamline global payments, cash flow management, and overall financial operations for SMBs and their accountants. The company argues that while there has been a proliferation of SaaS tools to help SMBs manage various aspects of their finances, juggling all these different applications can be time-consuming and challenging. MIMO aims to solve this by bundling the key features needed for SMBs to better understand and control their cash flow into a single platform.
And what specific capabilities does the MIMO platform offer to help SMBs manage their finances more efficiently?
With MIMO, SMBs can pay suppliers with just a click, access working capital to smooth out cash flow, and get paid faster by customers in any currency. The goal is to give small businesses an easy way to manage the movement of their money in and out of the company. Despite only being founded this year, MIMO is already working with over 50 SMBs and finance professionals. It processes several million pounds every month through its early access offering.
It's interesting to see a startup focus specifically on the financial management pain points of SMBs. What will MIMO be doing with this new £15.5 million in funding?
The funding will enable MIMO to officially launch its platform after its early access period. The company also plans to further build out the capabilities of the platform and make new hires to expand its teams in London and Stockholm. MIMO's CEO, Henrik Grimm, has emphasized the need to give SMBs a more streamlined way to handle time-consuming and fragmented financial processes. He sees a big opportunity to help small businesses take full control of their finances by consolidating key money management functions into a single tool.
Thanks for the update on MIMO's successful funding round and their potential for growth in the SMB fintech space. Shifting gears to another major player in finance, Morgan Stanley shares tumbled over 5% today, the biggest drop in 5 months, after a report that U.S. regulators are scrutinizing the firm's anti-money laundering controls for wealthy clients. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and other Treasury Department offices are reportedly digging into whether the bank has done enough to investigate the identities of risky clients. For more on this developing story, we turn to our correspondent. What can you tell us about these regulatory inquiries into Morgan Stanley?
According to the Wall Street Journal, multiple regulators, including the SEC and Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, have been seeking information on certain Morgan Stanley clients outside the U.S. who have raised red flags. They are looking into the bank's policies to address potential money laundering risks. Notably, the SEC pressed Morgan Stanley on why it did business with some clients who had been cut off by E-Trade, the online brokerage that Morgan Stanley acquired.
These inquiries are focused on Morgan Stanley's wealth management division, which has become the firm's biggest business. Why are regulators ramping up scrutiny of this area?
Wealth management now generates almost half of Morgan Stanley's total revenue, so it is a critical part of their business. But managing money for wealthy clients, especially those outside the U.S., can come with elevated risks around money laundering and financial crimes. the U.S. government has been putting more pressure on banks to tighten controls in this area and make greater use of sanctions against bad actors.
How has Morgan Stanley responded to these regulatory inquiries and warnings so far?
Morgan Stanley has told regulators it is working to improve its anti-money laundering controls and procedures. Executives met with Federal Reserve officials last year to try to allay their concerns. The bank also received a formal warning, known as a matter requiring attention, from the OCC, demanding that it address the issues. Morgan Stanley sent the OCC detailed plans for corrective action in response.
If regulators are not satisfied with Morgan Stanley's response, what further actions could they take?
If officials determine Morgan Stanley's efforts are still inadequate after examining their plans, it could lead to a deeper investigation or even enforcement action against the bank. Regulators have been issuing these MRA warnings with greater frequency in recent years to flag serious concerns to the board and senior management. An unsatisfactory response can prompt regulators to escalate the matter. However, Morgan Stanley has not publicly disclosed these inquiries, so the exact status remains unclear.
It will certainly be a situation to monitor going forward for Morgan Stanley and the banking sector overall. Thank you for that report and analysis. Shifting gears now, gray divorce is on the rise, and it can have major financial implications, especially for those separating later in life. Here to discuss this trend is Simply Finance correspondent Abby. So what exactly is gray divorce, and why does it present unique challenges?
Gray divorce refers to divorce that occurs between older adults, typically those over 50. It's becoming more common, and it presents distinct financial challenges because these couples have often been together for decades, merging their finances and assets over a long period of time. Untangling things like retirement accounts, real estate, and even college funds for grandchildren can be very complex when divorcing later in life.
And it seems this financial impact isn't necessarily felt equally between men and women after a gray divorce. Is that right?
Exactly. A recent report from Bowling Green State University found that while both partners see their wealth decline by about half after a gray divorce, a man's standard of living declines by around 21% on average, while a woman's standard of living plunges by a staggering 45%. This disparity likely stems from a combination of factors, including the gender pay gap over the course of their careers and the fact that women often outlive men.
45% is a massive hit to standard of living. Are there any steps older couples can take to prepare for the possibility of divorce?
It's a good idea for all married couples to maintain some financial independence, with separate credit histories and at least one individual bank account and credit card. Pay attention to your household finances and be involved in long-term financial planning. Also consider having an up-to-date prenuptial or postnuptial agreement in place. While not romantic, these can provide important protections and make divorce proceedings much smoother if the marriage does end.
That's good advice. Do retirement plans and Social Security get divided up in a gray divorce as well?
Retirement accounts like 401ks and pensions are typically considered marital property and are divided in a divorce, even for older couples. The rules around dividing these get very complex. As for Social Security, if a marriage lasted 10 years or more, a divorced spouse can collect benefits on their ex's record if they are unmarried and over age 62. But this doesn't impact the benefits of the working spouse. Gray divorce can also have big implications for estate plans, health insurance, and long-term care planning.
It's clear that untangling finances in a gray divorce can get very messy very quickly. Thank you, Abby, for breaking this down for us. For Simply Finance, I'm David. Turning now to international finance, the United States has proposed using profits from frozen Russian assets to fund the war effort in Ukraine. The idea would be to issue debt securities backed by the seized assets and use the proceeds to support Ukraine financially. Here with more details is our correspondent, James. Can you explain how this debt issuance would work in practice?
Under this proposal, the U.S. would take the approximately $300 billion in Russian central bank assets that were frozen as part of the sanctions imposed after Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year. Special debt securities would then be issued by a new agency, with the frozen assets serving as collateral backing the debt. institutional investors could purchase these securities, and the money raised would go towards funding economic and military aid to Ukraine. The Russian assets would continue to be held as collateral until the debt matures.
What are the potential advantages of this approach compared to direct aid from governments?
One key advantage is that it taps into a large pool of private capital from institutional investors. Rather than relying solely on government aid budgets, which are under strain, it's a way to unlock the frozen Russian wealth and put it to use supporting Ukraine without governments having to allocate as much from their own budgets. The debt would eventually be repaid from the Russian assets, rather than putting the burden on Western taxpayers.
Are there any risks or downsides to this plan that need to be considered?
There are certainly legal and practical hurdles to work out. Russia would almost certainly object to its assets being used in this way and could challenge it in court. There are questions about the legal authority for repurposing the assets. The US would likely need to pass new laws to establish the necessary framework. Investors would also need to be comfortable with the unique nature of these securities and the geopolitical risks involved. But US officials seem to believe it's a workable concept.
How soon could something like this realistically be implemented, and how much of an impact could it have for Ukraine?
US officials have indicated they are serious about pursuing this idea, but it would require buy-in from Congress to pass the necessary laws. That process could take some time, likely months, to play out. In terms of impact, if the full $300 billion in Russian assets were utilized, it could provide a very significant funding stream for Ukraine. US aid to Ukraine is in the tens of billions of dollars so far. So, using the seized assets could be a substantial additional source of support if investors are willing to purchase the debt securities in large quantities. But the exact structure and scale of the program still needs to be determined.
It will definitely be interesting to see if US officials continue pursuing this creative approach to funding Ukraine using Russia's own frozen assets as leverage. Thanks for the insights, James. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.